Welcome to Bring On the Mess, a show where we have real conversations about how to embrace life's messiness and how we find ways to show up and uncover our true selves. I'm Beth Ann Dorman, the CEO at For All Seasons.
And I'm Lisa Lee, the Chief Clinical Officer here at For All Seasons.
It is December.
It is December.
It is cold.
Well, yeah, it is.
It is a little chilly outside.
Well, I will say this. I love running in this weather. I do not like anything else about it, really. I don't know why. I have my best times with my dog running in the morning. He's like pulling me along, but it is definitely very, very cold.
These are the times where I run on my treadmill because it's inside and it's warm. Although I have to then turn the fan on because I die of heat because the house is warm because I'm always cold. So maybe I should try running outside. Although the last time I ran outside, I tripped on the cement. And so now I just trust my treadmill.
Yes, trust the treadmill.
Trust the treadmill.
It is December, and we've got holidays coming up. And
there's something about the time of year that you kind of know when you're out and about that the holidays are here. I don't know if you experienced this, but I was just sharing with you that I was doing some shopping for an event that we have coming up tomorrow night this morning. And people were just smiling, and the holiday music is on in the stores, and people were engaged in conversation differently than I've ever experienced. Like, these people asked me an opinion every 3 minutes. So it was good, because we had a lot of conversations in the 15 minutes I was in the aisle. But when I was walking down the aisle, I thought, it's just a different feel. There's just a different mood that is happening during the season.
Yeah, it's nice, and I know that you and I talk a lot about, while we could see that we also know that there's folks that holidays aren't necessarily joyful or good for them. So I know that we have to be mindful of all of those things. And it's interesting that you talk about that because, you know, one of the things that we're going to talk about today is Brené Brown's book, Atlas of the Heart. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we wanted to start off with was connection. And so as I was hearing you talk about people smiling and being more cheerful, and then sort of the other end of the spectrum of, you know, folks who maybe don't see holidays as cheerful, I wonder if we could talk a little bit about connection and what that might look like. Because I think sometimes it looks like we're connected to people, but maybe we're not. I don't know.
Yeah, and we'll start off with what Brené says about connection, that connection is created, and she really is very clear in all of her podcasts and her books and her TED Talks. If you all have not gone and viewed any of those or listened to any of them, we would really encourage you to do that. But she really believes that humans are hardwired for connection. I think that's the impetus to all of this, that we are hardwired as human beings to be connected. And her definition is along the lines of being seen, heard, and valued, and that is what helps to create connection.
So it's funny because there's actually biological, hardwired. So when people are like, what do you mean hardwired for connection?
We are not a Nintendo game.
What does that mean? Well, that means that biologically we are born to connect with people, and that starts in infancy. And so that's super important, and I really appreciate you bringing that up before the seen, heard, and valued, because it is a biological need. This isn't something that we just
like made it up because it sounded good.
Yeah, because it does sound good, but it is something that we need, and we know that life events cause or could potentially cause lots of disruptions in that, and we could talk a little bit about that today. But going back to your definition of seen, heard, and valued, I know that another piece that she throws in there is seen, heard, and valued, and without judgment.
Yeah, that's the big one.
Yeah, because that's hard. I remember when we were doing one of the Dare to Lead trainings, and one of our clinicians said, well, we all judge. And I was like, gosh, you know what? You're kind of right.
And I believe we enjoy judgment from time to time. So I think it's something that we have to admit we do. And sometimes you and I have the big joke when we'll make a comment back and forth, and what I'll say back to Lisa or she'll say back to me is, that sounds a little judgy.
Right.
And we can do it in jest, but I think two things are important about the judgment. Sometimes it can become fun and playful. Other times it can be really hurtful to people. And it's really important that we recognize that when judgment shows up, it's usually that we are judging someone in an area where they are doing better than what we are doing. And so that judgment becomes easy as like a self-protector. And also because I could be judgy of you because you run 10 miles. If I was in a place where I didn't feel secure in the fact that I will never run 10 miles, right. except for in a half marathon. But
well, neither will I really run 10 miles. So I think we're both on the same page.
But, you know, the piece of I am secure in knowing that my number that I like to hit is 4 miles. You might go to 7 or 8. I could create a million reasons why you're doing that and judge you for it because you're doing, in my mind, more work that my body just isn't programmed to do. Maybe I could if I tried, but I really don't try.
Right.
That's judgment. And it's when we sit back and think about areas that we judge, it's usually that someone is doing something better than we are. And there's probably a little bit of envy or resentment or some of those things can trickle into that judgment.
Absolutely. And I guess going off of that, I would say that when we're feeling, so when you say like we're feeling a little bit insecure, we're noticing other things about people. And I would say for me, that's really hard to admit because I really want to live my life with the most integrity. But living my life with the most integrity is acknowledging that there's times that I'm looking or seeing situations or people and my immediate thought might be a bit judgy, but it doesn't mean that I have to continue with that. And I think that's really an important factor is I might notice something, but I also, I've done enough work on my life to be able to say, oh, that's kind of my issue.
Right.
And have to set myself straight because I don't have to react out of that judgment. I think that's the other part that's really important. Yeah. So,
and that is the piece when we talk about connection and that seen, heard, and valued, judgment can get in the way of that connection. And so that's important that when we factor in judgment, so Brené says, when you're seen, heard, and valued without judgment, because the recognition is that when judgment comes first, connection cannot happen as easily or at all.
Right. And so let's go back to connection then, because that's her definition, right? Seen, heard, valued. And I was thinking about this morning, about the different kinds of connection. My connection to you, my connection to my family, my connection to my friends, my colleagues, and connection to my clients that I work with. And there is something different, because I was really, I'm like a sense into things and feel things, and I'm trying to visualize what that looks like. And I know in my most connected moments, I'm present. I'm feeling with a person. I'm listening. I'm intent. But then I started thinking, but I'm still connected to people that I don't see. Like, for instance, if I'm having a hard time, I could say to myself, oh gosh, what would Beth Ann say?
Yeah.
And I still am connected to you
right.
because I've internalized who you are.
And I think there's moments where that connection can be intentional. So you can sit and think, okay, like in this moment, I love the word hijacked lately. Like if I'm being hijacked emotionally and I need to sit back and think, okay, what would Beth Ann say or what would anyone say? There's those moments where it can be real intentional. And then there's those moments where we have unintentional connection and it may just be a quick hello or a quick, hey, how you doing? A quick check-in with someone that may also help us reset in moments where our day might not be going well, or we just need a smile, or it's just a simple gesture that's created connection that may help someone reset at the same time.
When I was also thinking this morning about what makes connection and what other things are involved, there's a vulnerability, trust. And when I think about trust, it's like those small moments of, if I'm thinking about connection with colleagues, it's, oh my gosh, your daughter was sick the other day. How is she doing?
Right.
Or I know that this is a really tough time of year. How are you handling that? And so I guess these are all maybe steps to connection now that I'm thinking about it. So we want to be seen, heard, and valued. And maybe this is how we see, hear, and value people is We establish trust in small moments. We allow ourselves to be vulnerable in these moments.
And I think that's so true. And I think to go a little bit deeper with trust is built in small moments. If you think about how trust is broken down, trust is broken in quick moments.
Right.
You know, so as much as it takes little small moments of connection to create trust, you can break trust quicker than you can build it. And I think it's important to remember that in connection. And remember that you can't force those moments of trust. Brené does this really great piece in the Dare to Lead training that we do. There's a video, and she says, you can't stand at the end of the boardroom and say, you have to trust me! That doesn't build trust.
Right,
and
right.
So I think it's really important that there also has to be, in building connection, a genuineness and a transparency and a vulnerability that has to be authentic. There has to be an authentic piece to building trust, to building connection. Just because you say the words, if it's not received on the other side because of actions or a disconnection because there isn't trust being built, it really is about building it, like you're saying, one step at a time. And so if you picture sort of like climbing up the mountain, you can't just get to the top by saying, please trust me. Mm-hmm. It's moments where we find connection, where we can say, oh, I can rely on that person. And it doesn't mean that in building moments of trust, we're not going to screw it up. But it's how you repair that that matters in the connection.
I feel like you're in my brain.
Oh, good. I like being there.
It's insane. Because what I was thinking about is the disconnection, right? Mm-hmm. And this has been sort of a theme in my life these last couple weeks, whether it's with family, friends, clients, clinicians, my own experience at work, is it's, yes, authenticity, it's owning our stuff, but it is the circle back mm-hmm. when there is disconnection. And sometimes we need a little bit of break mm-hmm. because we're too heightened in that moment. And so we might need to take a time out or a pause. I love pause. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, you got me a mug that says pause.
That's it.
which I still use and you know think of often because for me, the pause is so important. Whether it's me looking at myself mm-hmm. and, oh my goodness, there's that judgment. Or I'm not in the right place to have a conversation. But I know that I need to circle back because it is the absolute repair that strengthens the relationship. It's coming back to say, I don't know what happened, but let's see if we can figure this out.
Mm-hmm. And how often do we find ourselves as human beings, and I'm speaking myself included, where we're afraid of the circle back.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't necessarily take the steps. Or we start to put blockers in, well, that's their issue, I'm not going to worry about it. And what we know about repair and connection and disconnection is that the longer that the repair goes unaddressed, the harder it is to go back to it.
Right.
And so those are moments that become really important to remember that true vulnerability is being able to say, I think we need to repair. Or let's circle back on this, or help me understand what happened.
Right. And I would add that in particular with our kids, the circle back is so important. Mm-hmm. Now, this happens for all of us. In the time between, we make up stories about what might be happening. So you're totally right. Mm-hmm. Like, there's things that we might not be able to circle back for a couple weeks, and this happened with us at work. Mm-hmm. We couldn't circle back to an issue for, I think it was 2 weeks. And the good thing about that was we were all able to regulate. But there were things that I was telling myself about right. this situation that were not accurate once we did the circle back. Mm-hmm. And I think about kids in particular, because if whoever their caretaker, it might be mom and dad, it might be grandma, grandpa, whoever their caretaker is, the most important thing is for them to have that attachment or that connection to that person. Mm-hmm. And if there's no circle back, there's going to be stories that are made up about who they are as a person. And I see that so much just in my practice in general.
And I think what becomes really important about what you just said is that we as adults can sit here and talk about the rationale behind what happens when you don't repair, but our kids' brains are not there yet. And so we have to be able to make sense of that for them.
Absolutely.
With them.
Absolutely.
Because in the absence of the understanding, it's disconnection, it's disappointment, it's attachment that doesn't happen. It's all the things where we as adults have to lead in those moments because their little brains just aren't there yet.
Right. And so let's be very clear that we know that sometimes as adults, we're not ready for that right away. Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Right.
Our job in order to maintain connection is to do the circle back at some point. And I might need to call you or call somebody else, or I might need to do something in order to kind of get my mind straight mm-hmm. before I go to that. But I have to go back. Otherwise, again, too many disconnections or too many times where we don't circle back, it leaves kids, and I would even say some grown-ups, mm-hmm. wondering about what's happening in this situation.
Right, and especially when we think about the connection versus disconnection. Brené said in one of her things that I watched, and I just love it, it's a thing I use all the time with my kids and my husband and just in general. And I believe that it's really true when we think about times where we don't take the pause. And she says, I've never regretted a time when I've taken a time out, but I've always regretted it when I haven't. And if I think back to situations where I think, oh my goodness, I totally did not show up as my true self in that moment, it's because I neglected to say, I need a timeout. And when we think about timeouts, I don't know how you thought about timeouts when we were growing up, but that meant you were in trouble.
Right.
And what we know now about timeout is that as adults, timeouts are really just a reset, but it's leveraged as punishment when we're children. You know, timeout means that you have done something wrong, and so you're going away from everyone. But imagine what it would look like if from the time that our children were little, they understood that you just need to take a break. That's what I do with my kids now. Like, you just need to go and get yourself reset. Mm-hmm. That's the word we use in our house.
We do.
Please take a time to go reset and come back, and we'll continue this conversation. And I think it really is the difference between a blow up and a conversation.
Absolutely. And I know that you use this example sometimes that your kids will maybe say, Mom, I think you need a pause.
Yes. Or, Mom, you need to go in time out.
Absolutely. And one of the things I think for me that's important is I just model that, whether it's with, you know, clients or my kids or my colleagues. I sometimes need to say, like, I just need a moment. And I'll say that to new clinicians. And sometimes I'm in the middle of a session and just say, like, you know what? I just need to take a minute because I'm just not sure what's going on. They're like, you would say that? I'm like, after 26 years, I don't have all the answers. I do want to say something, though, because I think this is a really good example. And so I don't want to belabor the point, but I do want to kind of give an example of, like, a real-time situation. So I was sharing some really sad news with both my boys. So they're 11 and 12. And I was tearful. And it felt like an eternity before I can get the information out, which I'm sure it felt like infinity to them also. But I just couldn't, like, I had already prepared. I was a little bit tearful. And the words would not come out. And at the very end, my oldest said to me, Mom, I want to tell you something. I'm like, okay, what? He's like, never mind. And had I let that go and not kind of pursued, you know, your people. And so I kept pursuing and I said, buddy, you don't have to tell me, but I'm really curious. Tell me, like, what was going on. He said, I thought you were going to tell me that you had cancer or that grandma or grandpa had died. Mm-hmm. And had he had to sit with that mm-hmm. on his own, that's a clear example of kids will make up stuff, and it's really powerful and really scary and hard for them. And so I would really encourage, if anyone could take a nugget, you don't have to have the perfect words, mm-hmm. but if there's a fight or if there is words that are exchanged that are unkind or a situation that gets too intense, rather than leaving everybody with not knowing and not circling back, I would really encourage people, or invite people, maybe that's the word, invite people to consider, whether it's kids or an adult, to circle back. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this. Sometimes, especially if it's adults, it doesn't go quite the way that we wanted it to.
We have the plan in our mind and it sort of goes a different journey.
Yes. And that's okay, because sometimes we just need to say, I'd like to circle back, and we have the way that it goes and it doesn't quite go the right way. And it's information that we can use in situations with that person mm-hmm. in the future.
And I believe that one of the things that we've talked about when it comes to the circle back is that sometimes we have to understand that it is okay for there to be discomfort. Mm-hmm. And we don't always have to hold other people's discomfort. It's not always going to be a package with a bow on top of it.
Right.
So if it doesn't go well, sometimes that's okay. Sometimes we have to sit in our own discomfort about something that has happened. And sometimes when we are repairing, there may still be some uncomfortable moments, and we don't have to fix them all. Mm-hmm. Part of repair is acknowledging, but not taking responsibility for everything because we're looking to repair.
I love that. And what I would say is another thing that feels important, and we've kind of, with Atlas of the Heart, we were doing some reading, and there's an HBO series that's on it. And one of the things that she talks about is being able to put yourself in another person's shoes.
Right.
And we call that empathy. And it's funny, I really was thinking a lot about that. And when I think about if you and I are in a situation where I might be repairing, and it doesn't have to be a repair, it could be just any situation, but we'll stay with that. If we're repairing and I see something in your face, I might make an assumption about what you're feeling, mm-hmm. and I try to tell you yeah. what you're feeling.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry that you're feeling so sad.
Right. And you might be like,
I don't feeling at all.
And so I think it's important to know that I have found myself in situations where I might be touched by a situation, like there might be emotions coming up for me, or I see something in somebody else and I might be thinking, oh my gosh, they're so sad because of my own history.
Right. Right.
And what that reminds me of, I make sort of some assumptions about what that might be. And I will tell you, one of the best things that I got out of a training was, don't make the assumptions, make it a question.
Mm-hmm. Stay curious.
Stay curious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, because the difference between it feels like there's some emotion coming up, what's happening, is different than you look like you're really sad. Because then you have the ability to say, no, I'm not sad. I'm just really angry.
Right. Because there's nothing that can frustrate me more. Now, again, I've done enough work on my life, but there's nothing that could frustrate me more because I'm a little bit of a pushbacker, for those of you who don't know me. And so if somebody says, you're feeling this,
Those words are like fingernails on a chalkboard. No, please don't tell me what I'm feeling.
Right.
Allow me to share with you if right. I choose.
Right.
But don't tell me.
Right. And so I think that we have to be careful because I believe we do that in particular with kids. Mm-hmm. But I think we do that with each other. Oh, right. My gosh, you must be feeling so sad about this. Well, no, I'm feeling a lot of grief, right. which is deeper than sadness. Mm-hmm. Or I'm feeling anguish, which is deeper than sadness. Right. And right. so there might be something more that I might be experiencing. One, I have to have the language to be able to describe that. I have to know,
right.
like to have the insight to know what I'm feeling and experiencing, and then be able to reflect that back with language to another person.
And part of the connection in all of this comes from being able to find ourselves in a place where we don't make it about our experience, and we don't make it about, maybe you expressed to me that you're feeling anguish and initial is to go in for a hug, or my mm-hmm. initial is to say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And maybe I take charge of the conversation of, okay, so this is what you need to do. Maybe I start to problem solve. Part of what connection is found is when we can sit back and let you take the lead in that. Because I think when we are uncomfortable, or when there is a moment of extreme grief or extreme anguish, we as human beings get flustered, and mm-hmm. we try to problem solve, when really that staying curious, if we go back to that, is really the piece that is more supportive than me solving your problem, because right. I'm not going to solve it,
right.
but I can be supportive.
I appreciate that, and I'm going to need your help on the name of this movie because it always slips my mind. The one where sadness, happy, joy.
Oh, Inside Out.
Inside Out, thank yeah. you. So there's this beautiful scene that I love where Bing Bong loses the one little cart
right.
that he and Riley had, and Joy is trying to get Bing Bong to say, here's where the train station is and stuff, but he can't move because he's all in the sadness and stuff. And Sadness comes over and sits next to him. I think she even maybe like touched his arm or something, and she just was with him in the moment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he ends up feeling better and cries his candy tears right. and is able to move on. And when I think about what you just said, I truly believe people have gifts in being able to sit with painful emotions. Mm-hmm. And it is okay if some people are unable to do that, because I truly believe that that is a really hard thing to do, is to be able to sit with painful emotions. And if you are blessed enough to have somebody in your life to be able to do that, that is a true gift, and it's amazing. If not, and there's a lot of painful emotions, there's clinicians, there's mm-hmm. hopefully other people mm-hmm. in your life that you could explore, but there is something with somebody not trying to solve the problem and being with you in the moment, and again, not telling you how to feel or what right. to do, but just simply sitting there. And maybe this is what, if you're not one of those folks who is good at it, maybe you just sit there and you say, I'm just so glad that you told me, right. or I'm so glad that I can sit with you in this experience. And if there's anything I could do, I'm here.
And I love that whole scenario. And I think that we have to recognize that we're not going to get everything out of every person. Mm-hmm. And so I always give my jigsaw puzzle example, that different people in our lives provide us different things. I mean, you are totally that person who can sit with me in the hard moments. I can't expect that out of my girlfriend who lives in a different state, because that's just not her forte. Her forte is if I call her and I just want to hear everything about a life story to distract myself from what's happening in my world,
right.
that's the person I call. What I learned over time is that I used to get frustrated if I couldn't get something out of someone in my life that I needed in that moment. And what I had to do is take a step back and figure out who those people were in those moments. Mm-hmm. And that was a little bit about creating connection with people based on the gifts that they have, not the assumption that everybody had to be everything to me. And that's where I always say the jigsaw puzzle, your friendships, if you dump your jigsaw puzzle out on the kitchen table, and you think about your friends and you think about the different things that people give you, that's what creates the puzzle. You can't expect that every single person is going to give you everything you need. And I think that's where sometimes our frustration breaks down connection, because we want what we need in that moment, but it's also about who are the people that you're calling in those certain specific situations.
I feel so silent with that because it was so beautiful. And, it's hard to get me to be silent. I know I've heard you say that before, and I absolutely agree. And it's important to know, I think that what really resonated with me is the part where you said, like, each of us has different gifts. And what I would encourage folks, because there was something in the HBO series that I loved when she said, and I'm going to quote something. She said, our connection with other people is only as solid as our connection to ourselves. In order for me to be connected to you, I have to know who I am. And I just love that. There was something so important about those words for me. And so when I heard you say what you did, what I would invite people to think about is, what is your gift? Mm-hmm. What is the thing that you would say, I'm good at? And it's funny because I think that sometimes life gets in the way of us knowing that. And I have a girlfriend that I grew up with. I mean, I'm 50 years old. We knew each other since we were like 8 years old. And she said something about herself, like, I'm just not good at that. And as we talked and continued to explore, she realized she really was. And because of the relationship she was in, she had to inhibit that part of who she was. Mm-hmm. And so it's always been inside of her as a gift, but she had to kind of put it under bubble wrap, so to speak, or under wrap. And so I really want to encourage people, if we're thinking about, you know, the holiday and what we could do for ourselves, maybe it's to start reflecting on your connection towards yourself mm-hmm. and who you were meant to be.
And I love the idea of, I'm not good at it, but let me just understand that it was the situation that I was in that didn't allow. So it's, at the end of the day, like, about being our best selves and making sure that we're also creating space for that gift to shine. And if it can't shine in one situation, where maybe do we carve out something in our life where she might not have been able to feel that at home, but maybe she feels it at work or mm-hmm. at church or at the synagogue or wherever, a faith community, or maybe with girlfriends. So I think it's also really important that when we're identifying those gifts, figuring out where and how you can use your gift.
So let's circle back to the very beginning. So connection is being seen, heard, and valued. And so it's not just you seeing, hearing, and valuing someone else, mm-hmm. but it's turning it inward mm-hmm. and seeing, hearing, and valuing yourself mm-hmm. and really trying to figure out who you were born to be. And, you know, when you talk about a faith community, I would say who God intended you to be, or whoever your spiritual being intended mm-hmm. you to be. However you want to say it, whatever resonates for you, it's who you want to show up as that allows you to be your best self.
Yeah. And I think before we close out today, I just want to circle back, because we've mentioned Atlas of the Heart a couple of times, and Lisa just read a quote from Brené Brown that is in the Atlas of the Heart series. And so just to encourage folks, that we invite you to hook into the HBO Max app, and there is the Atlas of the Heart series. It's a wonderful way to sit down with friends and or sit down by yourself. And we also mentioned the movie Inside Out, which is all about emotions.
Yes.
And so if there is a time for you, I always find when, and I taught in the college community for several years and used movies, and that's what you'll find in Atlas of the Heart. Brené uses movies to be able to talk about emotions. And so if this has hit a spot for you and you're thinking this would be a great thing to talk with my kids about, we invite you to just take a look at Inside Out, because there's sadness, there's anger, there's joy, there's all different types of emotions that are characters in this movie. And so even if you're an adult, it's just a great movie to be able to be a springboard to a conversation about emotion. And so just wanted to make sure we circled back to both of those things. We know the holidays are upon us. We circle back to also say that for some it's a great happy time, and for some it's a difficult time. And so we hope that this has helped you think about connection as the month continues on, and we'll be with you right after the holidays.